remembering the laws of tithes, especially as they pertain to fruits, in other words, became one of the primary ways through which the Jewish people remembered their link to the land. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 67, The Date Palm and the Coin. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Recently, I delivered a talk in the synagogue that was all about an object which I held in my hand. This object was ancient, and it depicted a Jew, but it was not created by Jews. It was a Roman coin minted during the reign of the Emperor Vespasian, celebrating the ruler of Rome's conquest of Judea. One side of the coin featured Vespasian's visage. The other featured an image that for today is painfully rawly relevant. We see a Jew taken captive, sitting under a date palm tree, with a Roman soldier standing nearby as captor. The date palm was chosen because it was, as many have explained, one of the central symbols of Israelite agriculture. The talk commenced, and yet because of the specific time and setting, there was something striking and sublime about the fact that I was holding the coin in my hand. In order to better understand this, we must talk a bit about Tu Bishvat, the 15th of the Jewish month of Shvat, known as the New Year for Trees, which will commence this Wednesday night and Thursday, and which is bound to our mitzvah for the day. One of the agricultural laws in the Torah relates to Ma'aser, quite literally, the taking of a tenth, more commonly translated as tithe. The Israelite farmer is obligated to take off a series of tithes, one of which, known as Ma'aser Rishon, the first tithe, is given to the Levite. This is the book of Numbers. Filivnei Levi hinei natati kol ma'asar b'Yisrael l'nachala, chelef avudatam asher hem ovdim et avudat ohel moed. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given the tenth tithe in Israel as an inheritance, in exchange for their service which they serve, the service of the tabernacle. After taking off a bit for the Kohen, a mitzvah that will be discussed in due time, the farmer would then take off a tenth of whatever crops had been harvested and give it to the local neighborhood Levite, or to whichever Levite the farmer was able to find. This obligation applies not only to grain, but also to fruit. As I explained in my Sacred Time series, the holiday of Tu Bishvat, the 15th of Shvat, commemorates what was originally an halachic deadline that applied to the mitzvah of tithing. Every year's crops had to be tithed. What is the fiscal, as it were, cutoff date for each crop? For grain, the date is the first of Tishrei, what is known today as Rosh Hashanah. But for fruits, the end of the fiscal year for trees and the beginning of the next was marked by Tu Bishvat, the 15th day of the Hebrew month of Shvat. That is the day the new year began. That is what the 15th of Shvat was, a Jewish legal date that is akin to the 1st of January for taxes for us. But several hundred years ago, the date became something more. The mitzvah of Ma'aser, the laws of tithes, applies only to that which was grown in Eretz Yisrael. Tithing, as I explained in my lecture, is one of the obligations that are known as mitzvot hatzuliot ba'aretz, biblical commandments that apply only to the produce of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore reflect the holiness of that sacred soil. Tu Bishvat then became a way for Jews, both inside the Holy Land and, perhaps even more importantly, very far away from the Holy Land, to remember the agriculture of the land that was promised, the laws that applied to that produce, and the sanctity, the holiness inherent in the land that the laws of these fruits and grain reflected. Remembering the laws of tithes, especially as they pertain to fruits, in other words, became one of the primary ways through which the Jewish people remembered their link to the land, or, as one might put it, it was through transforming the laws of Holy Land trees into an emotional commemoration that Jews throughout the world remained rooted spiritually and intellectually in the soil of Eretz Yisrael, even when they seemed so cut off from it. It is therefore so striking to look at a Roman coin featuring a date palm one of the trees to which the laws of the tithes of fruits would have absolutely applied, and to ponder the fact that the Roman attempt to uproot the Jewish people from their land was ultimately unsuccessful, and that not only have Jews returned, not only have they cultivated the sacred soil, not only has a resurrected state sprung up upon it, but also the empire that Vespasian so arrogantly bestrode is nothing more today than relic and ruin. One of my favorite stories concerning the date palms that today, once again, grow amidst the holiness of the land is told by Ari Zivitovsky, who describes how after date palms disappeared, an effort was made to reintroduce that agricultural aspect into the land in which those palm trees were once so famous. Zivitovsky writes, quote, "The story of the reintroduction of date trees in the early days of the state reads like an espionage thriller. The best place to get saplings was Iraq, but Israel and Iraq had no diplomatic or trade relations. More than that, there was no way that the Iraqis would sell anything to the Jews. The Mossad had a solution. It sent a few agents to Iran, posing as French businessmen. After several months of confidence building, the Iranians agreed to serve as interlocutors with the Iraqis. The Israelis purchased 75,000 saplings and asked that they be shipped to Egypt. Before arriving, the ship's manifest was changed to direct it to France. In an amazing turn of events, pirates, quote unquote, boarded the ship in the Mediterranean and stole exactly one thing, date palms. These saplings mysteriously, quote unquote, turned up in Haifa and were used to rekindle the now very successful Israel date business in both the Arava and the Beth Sha'an Valley." End quote. It is a marvelous tale of Israeli intelligence and agriculture. But it is even more marvelous to ponder the plans and providence of the omniscient mind of Almighty God. Israeli agriculture is a reality, and the Rome of the emperors is gone. And this was the point that I sought to make as I held that coin aloft in what would seem a surprising setting. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, I was speaking in the synagogue on Friday night at a Sabbath talk. Coins, according to Jewish law, are not supposed to be handled on the Sabbath, and therefore it would seem strange for a rabbi to be holding a coin aloft. But I explained that it is coins that act as money that cannot be handled. The Roman Empire is long gone. The coin minted by Vespasian as a celebration of his might ceased to be a legal tender long ago. The very fact that I could hold the coin on the Sabbath was itself a proclamation of the disappearance of the Emperor of Rome's reign, even as the palm tree on the coin reminded us of the wonders of Jewish history. To think then of a seemingly technical mitzvah such as Maaser Peirot, the tithes of fruits, is to ponder providence, the endurance of the Jewish people, and to retain the faith that, like Vespasian and Titus, all those that seek to assault and attack the Jewish people will ultimately also disappear from history while Am Yisrael chai. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.